Good morning. Before I start, I want to read a passage of scripture. It's a scripture that, you know, when I just got converted, I was seeking for answers, wanting to know what was happening. And I remember, like, now a Sunday morning in church, I just grabbed the Bible and started reading. And, you know, for some reason, I end up at Job. And I'll read from Job 5. I'll read from 7 down to the end. But the verse that really gave me the answer is verse 17. So as I read along, you will get a message as to what I'm trying to say. Yet man is born unto trouble as his sparks flies forward. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number, who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the fields, to set upon the high those that below, that those which mourn may exalt to safety. He disappointed the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. He taketh the wise in their craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. They meet with darkness in daytime, and grope in noonday as in the night. But he saveth the poor from the sword, but from their mouth and from their hand of the mighty. So the poor had hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth. Verse 17 down. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrected. Therefore despise not the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore, and he bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 there will be no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth. For thou shalt be in the league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation and shall not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring the grass of the field, of the earth, sorry. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like a shock of corn cometh in his season. Lo this, we have searched it, so it is, here it is, and know thou it for thy good. Here ended the reading of God's holy word. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks this morning, Lord, for all you've done for us, dear God. I give you thanks for the privilege of being here, Lord. I give you thanks for all the lives that have come out to worship and to glorify you. Heavenly Father, I cast to you, dear Lord, all those requests that I've mentioned earlier, dear Lord, that you will reach out your hands and heal and bless, dear God. Father in heaven, I come before you in obedience, dear Lord, knowing, dear God, that it is not about me, Lord, but the working powers that you have shown unto us, dear God. Father, bless each heart that is here this morning, dear Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. You know, in thinking back, today so happened to be a very special day for me in that the last time I was in the States, it was a very miraculous time for me. And it so happened that I was on my way out the first Sunday in November of 2011. And here the first Sunday in November 2013. You know, I could just say that as my testimony, and that would have been what I know, that would have been enough, in that knowing where I'm coming from to where I have reached today, it's a blessing to be here. The Lord has, you know, worked wonders in my life, and I'm so happy to share it with you today. And I just want to ask you, that is, you know, not about me, but it's really what the Lord has done for me, and to, you know, show others that He's still around, He's here, He's alive and well. And what He has done for me, the good thing about that is that He will do the same for others. And that's, you know, a very touching moment for me. It has really touched my life. And I want to be thankful to God for all that He has done. I'm very happy for that. You know, I'm here, and I also want to say a special thanks to Brother Elvin for having me here. I must tell you that I remember Brother Elvin when he came to Jamaica, but to think of him, to meet him at the airport, it would have been, I just can't get a true, clear picture as to what he looks like. I remember him preaching a particular message there, and I said, man, yeah, that's really stuck out with me. And, you know, when he came to pick me up at the airport, in he can tell you, we identify each other by just like the snap of the finger. And you know, it goes to show that when the Lord is at work, he does cause everything to mesh together. And I'm happy for that. And I'm also happy for the opportunity to really come to the States to study God's Word, because I can tell you that, you know, after getting saved and I've been going along, there still was a vacuum inside here. I must tell you that I personally wasn't getting the kind of teaching that I think I ought to have gotten back in Jamaica. And, you know, the Lord worked in mysterious ways. You know, I so happened to meet, I don't know who may know Brother Jay, but after talking to him, and I expressed my concerns, you know, back home, and how I would want to know more about Christ and His words, because of course you're reading the Bible, I'm not getting the full understanding of it and stuff like that. And I can tell you that I want to say to, you know, those of you who are here, that EBI is a wonderful place. I adore it. I cherish it. I pray for EBI every single day, because this stage of my life, I have experienced the greatest portion of growth in my Christian life. And it's not so long ago that it happened. And I wanted to give God thanks for directing me here, and to really push me here to come and share my path to getting victory over sin. And I'm just begging you all to lift me up in your prayers, and I will do the same for you. And so, you know, before I start telling you of my experience, I want to, you know, you all to be a part of it, and I want to, you know, to join me in singing the hymn 330 in your hymn book. It's a hymn that I cherish ever since I've started church, and I've heard it, and I said, man, this is a hymn that has done great, great wonders for me. So if you want to stand and sing with me, we can. Not a very good singer myself, but wherever the Lord leads, then we will follow. Okay. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I cling. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Thou so mighty and so true, merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to Him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows His will obey. He your Savior wants to be, He saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Amen. It's a joyful feeling whenever I happen to sing that song, and you know, when I reflect at Psalms 150, it says that let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So let's all together say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. You know, I keep on looking back, and you know, to be here today, and I reflect on 2 years previously, it's, I have to every now and again get a grip of myself, because to really come and stand in front of you here and to talk, it is not me. I would not have had the courage to do that previously, but to see how God work and to, without even preparation or anything like that, I must confess to you, to come and stand and talk to you, it's a wonderful feeling, and it tells me how great God is, and I want to be, you know, by speaking to you all, a source of encouragement and inspiration, that God can take you from very disastrous circumstances and elevate you to where you find peace and comfort in your heart. Because I can tell you, in today's world where you have the material things and the worldly things to captivate you,
because we know that's how the devil works. You know, when you believe and trust in God and to be obedient to Him, He will direct your path and lead you to things that are good and to things that make you happy. Because I can tell you, based on my own experience, that out in the world, there is no true happiness. You are happy temporarily. You're happy for tonight, and tomorrow you get up and you say, man, what is it I've done last night? And there's no true meaning. And so I want to share with you, you know, from my early days until now. Growing up as a child in Jamaica, and of course, the church that I grew up attending in very early times, its founder is here from here in the States, in Pennsylvania. And, you know, we as children, we would like see from time to time kids coming from the States. And of course, we counted that they were privileged people then, because, you know, some of our even younger siblings, they used to attend church without shoes and stuff like that. And that's how it was early in the days. But I grew up in the church, my mom being a Christian. But, you know, as time goes by, I ended up moving away. I didn't get saved or anything like that. I was just going to church because my mom, of course, you having your mom going, she would want to take you along. And so I grew up in the church. But when I got to my later teen years, I graduated from high school, and then I was very fortunate to get a job then and there. And so that's where my whole life took a spin into the world of sin, because I by now I got a job and I started working, and I went through that phase of my life, getting to know people, and of course now the bad influence start, because in my community I was one of the fortunate ones to have a job, and then now you have your friends that you grew up with, and then most of them not attending church. And I started, of course, earning my own money. So the feeling of adulthood started to creep in, because you no longer have to depend on your parents and stuff like that. And so things triggered off into a direction that, you know, over a period of time, you would probably live to regret that. But we started out, first I started to encounter with alcohol. And it leads from one thing into multiple dates and having more than one girlfriends and all of those things. And, you know, life progresses and we get deeper and deeper into the sinful world, and we move along. By now, my first child would have come around about age 20, 21, somewhere there. And that it just get from bad to worse from there. And of course, my first son didn't live for long. He died. And so I continue life on the sinful path. And, you know, we would trot along in and out of relationships. I've had so many. Didn't really have any encounters with drugs or anything like that. But alcohol was what I consume a lot. I can tell you that, you know, for most part of my life, I'd had, like, each night I would go to the bars, and we would have young girls around us and stuff like that, and drinking alcohol, and, you know, it would be like that for the better part of 20 years. And so I continued that life, that passage of life, and for the next 10 years I would work and move myself up the ladder in terms of financial gains and stuff like that. So I have had two jobs back home in those days. I resigned the first one after the first 5 years. Then I got into a bigger job. By this time, I was earning, when I left one job today, at 100% more money than I was earning at that time. And so, you know, heading on to age 30, I look at the people around me and the people with whom I'm working, and I'm saying, man, I need to be like those people who are successful. And so I decided that, you know, coming on to age 30, I no longer want to be an employee, but I want to be an employer and to have my own businesses and stuff like that. And of course, that happened. And, you know, it happened actually before, just before I turned age 30. I started my own business at age 29. And here it was, you know, that was the biggest bang in my life, where it's like success was immediate. It happened so quickly, because by this time I so happened to know the right people in the right places. And so I was hooked up right along in the circle. And you know, things happened and I started. Of course, to have had a car, and especially a sport car back in Jamaica in those days, you were looked at, and if it seems as if you are now moving up the ladder, your people will tend to look at you and want to be around you and stuff like that. And of course, that happened. I now start to keep companies, like with the politician and stuff, and I. Things just happen, and of course, by now, more dates, more children, all the things that go along with those success and the flashy life. I've now started to host my own parties. Every week there, I will like put the party on and invite all my friends, all the politicians that are around, and of course, living that kind of life, you tend to even get caught up with those guys who are involved in drugs. I'm not doing it, but you so happen to be a part of the sinful world. So everything just come into play at that time. And, you know, things just progress like that. And life continues on the sinful path. Man, I can tell you, I every now and again I would reflect and think of the days when I used to go to church and you know, try to even pray. That couldn't even happen. If I tried to pray, I couldn't go 5 seconds into a prayer. My mind would lead me to like things that I need to go and get done, or I need to go to the bar down the road and stuff like that. And it just couldn't happen. And there was, you know, a bit of emptiness and a void inside. But you know how the devil works. These feelings will come, but he makes you get comfortable and more comfortably into the world of sin, and you progress that line. And so if the thought comes by, they don't last, and you just move. He just let you shift your thoughts from there and lead you in deeper and deeper into the way he wants you. And so my life continues and it continue along the celebrity life, so to speak. You know, the sport car, the things, and the house, and everything comes along with it. And, you know, heading on to age 40, this is another milestone in my life. And, you know, I decided that reaching age 40, I'm not going to just settle for just reaching age 40. This was something that I have to do and to make it a life. Lasting remembrance. And so at age 39, I've had a girlfriend of over 20 years, but we've been in and out of a relationship because of my lifestyle, where I would be involved with so many different women, so to speak. And you know, if by reaching age 39, if what I've said to you already doesn't impact you, by this time I now have 7 children with 7 different women, it goes to show you the kind of reputation I've now developed, where I've been, you know, a guy who has gone deep into the world of fornication and adultery, and you know, I've reached a stage where there's no return. And so, here am I at age 39, and I decided that, you know, of course, I can afford it and stuff like that. So, my girlfriend, she lives in England. I was born in August, and she born in December, and therefore,
we will turn 40 in the same year, in 2011. And you know, we did some research and we say, all right, here is it. We will do a big celebration in the United States. And of course, she went and she did her research, and we found a way that we thought would have been a very good way to do it, and that is to celebrate our birthday in Las Vegas City. And here is how it would happen. We would land in California, San Francisco, and we would journey. We would take a week before, a week, and to have a week-long celebration here. And so we would try to drive from San Francisco and to travel the coastline and to cut inland through the Death Valley Desert and end up into Las Vegas City, where we will have the grand celebration that Saturday night. And so, you know, we did all of that, and while cutting through the Death Valley Desert, I think it was the Wednesday that we reached here, we got lost in the Death Valley Desert. And man, if you know anything about the Death Valley Desert, you know that that's not the place for you to get lost. And so, you know, it was around 10 p.m. the night, and the GPS system we were using put us onto the wrong track. And my God, when we were going deeper, and it's, we for over 100 miles, I'm certain we didn't pass any vehicle. And man, we became very concerned. And then I can tell you there was a bright light behind us, like after we stopped for about 5 minutes considering what are we going to do, there came a ranger. And he said that he was tracking us for over 100 miles because here is where a lot of evil takes place, you know, with Mexico and the States with drugs and stuff like that. And so, you know, the Lord worked him to save us that night. And, you know, we trod along a night over in the desert, and we finally reached down to Las Vegas the Thursday afternoon. And I must tell you that during this time, there was something inside of me, you know, keep on. From the moment I landed in the States, there was something here that was happening. But I managed to brush it aside every now and again and you know, try to move forward, because it is here that I'm going to do my celebration. And, of course, we had invited about 15 other good friends, close friends, to have this celebration with us. And as I travel along, there will be time when, in the daytimes, I so happen to get along well. But as soon as it turns night and, you know, our private times come along, then there's a sort of resentment from my side. I would more or less go aside, and I wasn't doing much talking, but, you know, for peace sake, I tried to make things up and things with my girlfriend, but things just, I couldn't even kiss her because of what was happening when it turns night. And I said, man, but at this time, I, because of pride, I didn't want to share what was happening. But there was just like a tornado building up inside of me. And I try, in the daytime, I manage well, but as it turns night, it is something else. And so we tried to party that Thursday night. Everyone enjoying themselves, but I couldn't. Friday night, the same thing. And so, and Saturday night now is the final night. And I said, man, this thing has to, we have to just put it aside. There's no way I can come here and we don't allow things to happen. And I just lay it aside. And I can tell you, if any of you have gone to Las Vegas, what really stuck with me there was that reaching there the Thursday, When I look back, you can't tell the day is different, because the same things are happening every day. It's just from one party to the other, and you know, you have prostitutes. Everybody, the place is just, man, I tell you, it really hit me when I see that's where the Lord really takes me from. It's a place where you don't think that God could exist there, because it's filled with the gambling tools, the drugs, everything. You can't move without something that
bad influence you there, influencing you there. You can't move. It just won't happen. And so I remember that Saturday evening, we want to celebrate this thing in fine style, and we hired a limousine that evening that would take 15 of us to one of those fancy restaurants down there. Of course, I must tell you, I enjoyed the meal, but going on, things are just, you know, I'm just by myself. But I try to put the best outside just for my friend's sake. And we journeyed to the restaurant. After we finished there, we made a few stops in town. Then this would be the grand finale at one of the larger hotels there, where they had a big fight down there. I don't remember the name of the hotel. And man, there was a celebration, and hundreds of people inside there. You could hardly hear yourself. And the noise of the music and all of those things. And I'm telling you, I really fight the feeling, and I actually got inside the nightclub that night. And while I was in there, you know, I just couldn't get on with what else, with the others that was happening there. They were partying and stuff, and I really stood by myself at this time. No, I can't go any further. And I remember one of my friend, he know what I drink a lot. I used to be a big fan of vodka and stuff like that, and he took that drink to me because he know what I drink. And man, when I tasted that drink, it's the worst tasting stuff I've ever had. And so I couldn't go along with it. And I tucked it in the side, you know, one of those in the corner. I hide and tucked it there. And I remember after I finished that, I still remained by myself. And I went, there was a column inside there, and I went and I kneel over like this, and I was there standing on knee. And to my surprise, I fell asleep inside there. You know what it tells me, that all of this planning and stuff, for 1 year we plan it. And while I was doing all of this planning and stuff, the Lord has planned something else for me. And, you know, while I was there and I fell asleep, my friend came over and he wakes me up and he said to me, "Man, you're not going to spoil our night tonight. This is the final night." And I said, you know, okay, take me to the hotel. And he took me outside and we got a taxi, and because by this he think I'm sick or something, and he see me through to my hotel room and stuff like that. And you know, when I returned to the hotel room, there was no other choice than to be obedient to God. I cried out that night until it was so much of a pain, and the relief of a pain from within. The Lord has really spoken to me, and I move in obedience to Him and accept His calling. And I'm telling you, it has been a very wonderful experience since that. And you know, I must tell you, well, by now you're not hearing anything about my girlfriend. Of course, we weren't speaking by this time. The following morning, I had made arrangement to leave before everyone else, to go back to Jamaica. She would have stayed here for probably another 2-3 days. And therefore, I left the hotel early that morning, and I went back to Jamaica. And man, when I went back to Jamaica, I couldn't wait to see my mom, because of course she's a Christian for how many years now. And when I saw her, this is my exact word to her, that, you know, "Mom, it's church for life. The Lord has really spoken unto me, and I have to accept it." And it's from there that I started going to church. And I can tell you, I've only missed church one Sunday since that. And, you know, that's how the devil, it was the act of the devil. Someone really upset me, and I just figured I couldn't go to church feeling like that. And I must tell you, there's another twist to it when I reached Jamaica. Because, of course, knowing the kind of person I was, my reputation, how I stay, and all of that, when I reached back and I started going to church, there was a big alarm after that, oh my gosh, you won't go for more than 2 weeks. Everyone, you know, casted my time out there that, you know, it is 2 weeks before he's back to his sinful life, knowing that, you know, by this time it seemed as if I couldn't live without a woman or stuff like that. And it goes on for a little while. And after that, then I heard that the reason why I have gone into the church is that I've been tested positive for HIV. And I said, man, is it really that? And that didn't satisfy them. I so happened to come back to Georgia, to Atlanta, Georgia, by the month end. And when I reached back, I heard that I went to the States to get treatment for cancer. No, it is that I couldn't just be a Christian. It is totally impossible. And people, they pronounce cancer and they pronounce AIDS on me. But, you know, I have to give thanks to God for the way he works and the powers that he, you know, he has to change people. And I stand here as a true testimony as to his working powers. And you know, if you are here today and you know you don't have Christ in your life, I'm imploring you that talk to him. He will talk to you and answer you and to take care of you. And you know, I must tell you that it has been, I'm not gonna tell you that everything has been great since I've become a Christian. But one thing I can tell you, when you're obedient to him, you know what he does? He strengthens you from within. And he allows you to get that confidence that whatever the attacks are, or whatever the circumstances, he will help you to rise above them. And I'm telling you how he works. When the Lord has a plan for you, he goes ahead and make the way. And if you think things just been good since I've become a Christian, I'm here to tell you another twist to the story. Of course, by this time, I was still living a very, you know, financially, I'm in good state. I'm in good condition. And, you know, I'm going to tell you that things try, you know, I'm not a Christian and living the life and wanting to know more about God. And I tell you that since I've been here at EBI, you know, I lost quite a lot of things since I've become a Christian. It's like everything has disappeared from me. I'm now moving from a point where being with the devil, I know what it is to be financially well off. And to be with Christ, I know what it is to be financially at the bottom and at the top with Christ. And I share another experience with you where since I've been here about 3 weeks into my time, I got a call from Jamaica. Of course, I had a phone when I just reached here. I couldn't afford it down in India. After 3 days, I spent like $100 and something. And I said, man, I can't live this like this. And so I got my Jamaican phone to be hooked up now on roaming and stuff, which was costing me like $10 per week. And I said, yeah, this is a better thing. And man, one day into the phone and it crashes. I said, man, this might be a sign for God to tell me that you're not going to get much done if you keep in touch with Jamaica. Because, of course, everybody would still be calling me and stuff like that. And so I was locked away. I was tucked away. And, you know, like 3 weeks into my time here, I got a call from my aunt that I have to return to Jamaica. And I said, why? And I said, my property, one of my businesses is now in foreclosure back home, and I'm about to lose everything. And I said, man, oh my God, how am I going to handle this? But you know, there is something that happened the same day, and I must tell you, this is how God works. And when he's making his way for you, he goes ahead and clears the way. And I can tell you that the same day that I got that call, I was given an assignment to read one of John Piper's book, Let the Nations Be Glad. And, you know, I discovered a quote from the Bible while I was reading it. I wish I had it there where I said, you know, I have to make a note of this. And it was from Philippians 3, verse 7 and 8. And it reads, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as dung, that I may win Christ. And man, when I got that call that day, I leave from outside the inside of the library there, and went outside, and I was there. That was the day I had the phone hooked up. And, you know, it just happened that everything just culminated at the same time. I had the phone that day, and when I got the call, she said, I have to come back home. And I, like, for 5 minutes, probably not knowing where I was standing, and I said, you know, that passage of scripture just come back to me, and it just revived me. And it goes to show that when you're trusting God, He used His word to give you that level of, you know, confidence, and to motivate you and to push along. And here am I still. I am still in the States. And I said, you know, go seek a buyer. Because what happened if I sell the property, you probably, I still have a little bit of equity there. And, you know, if I get it sold, then I can always have something to go and survive from. But if they do it, then it's a problem. And so the Lord has helped me to let me know that those things are not what I should really put my life and dwell on and to depend on, you know. He's here for you whenever you're in need. And that's the greatest thing of all. God will, He will help you to go through all the circumstances in life. Because I can tell you, and I'll repeat, I know what it is to be on a high financially and living for the devil. And I know what it is to be on a low financially and to be high in Christ. Because He has really worked wonders in my life. And I can tell you, He has strengthened me. I tell you, there's more than one benefit I've had. I've had so many blessings. Prior to me coming here, I went to my doctor to have a little checkup because of no, you know, by now I want to come to the States and I don't know what my health condition is like and stuff. And so he looked at me after the medical examination and he said, Mr. Elliott, are you getting younger? Because he had looked at, I've been going to this doctor since 1983 and he looked at my record from then. And he said, man, your blood pressure has gone back to where you were when you were 16. And I said, man. So with all of this, there's a lot of blessing that when you put your faith and trust in Christ, you have nothing to lose. That's the first thing you have to remember. There is nothing to lose when you put your faith and trust in Christ. Just ask Him to lead the way and to be obedient, you know. Because I think that's where my blessing comes from. I've been obedient all the way. I've never looked back. And, you know, He has pointed me in some direction that it has caused great blessing to me, especially being at EBI. And I want to say to, you know, any of the young folks that I hear that and you want to learn and to know about God, just turn your direction to EBI. It's a wonderful place. It has everything for learning. You're away from the distraction. Nothing to really pull you away from God. And so I can tell you that my biggest growth in Christ Jesus, it has taken place since I've put feet on U.S. soil back at EBI there. It has caused me to really get deeper into God's word. I even think of a situation. I wouldn't even know how to lead people to Christ previously. I could only give you a testimony. But, you know, thank God He has allowed me the privilege to come and learn. I can direct you to the gospel now and to tell you what Christ has done, can do for you and what He has done for us to achieve life, you know, eternal. And I want to say to you all, just, you know, beg God to guard your heart and to keep away from things of the devil. Because, you know, one thing that really struck me while on my way here was like when I was going through the airport at Charlotte, it's like you don't even see evidence of Christianity here. There is no hair covering on any of the women that are traveling. You know, there are so many things to tell you that, man, the devil is on a rage. And, you know, I just want you all to continue praying and to hold fast unto God, because I don't think it's long from now before He will put in His appearance based on what is happening. And I want to also tell you that there's another way to it, that we as Christian, we have to do more to try and get other people into the fold, because it would be pointless for us to be Christians and not trying to influence other people into what we are enjoying. Because I'm telling you, it's a good feeling to be, you know, when my brother, he stood here earlier and he started that hymn, and I said, my God, what a feeling, you know.
if ever I love these, no. I'm telling you, I just feel something just came down on me. And oh my God, probably that was the thing to ease the nervousness and stuff like that. And I do appreciate what you did. And that's it. I'm begging you all to implore others to, you know, who are living in the life of sin, to really come and join and to build God's kingdom, because ultimately, as the scriptures said before, it would be better if you weren't born, if we know of the things that are to come and the punishing side, you know. We know the prize because we are here and we are learning the work of God, the words of God, and you know, it's a good thing. So we should all try to encourage others to be a part of the family that is to come, and that's the ultimate prize. What we're doing here is almost pointless because there's another life to come. And you know, since I've been here and I learn and study about it, I said, man, this has really grounded my cause to be a Christian. And so, if you are here today and you think you're not right with God, I'm begging you, please make it right. Because the time will come when you can. And if it is too late, then we all know the consequences. And this is what I have to share to you today. And I want to say a big thank you for listening. And may God continue to bless and keep you all. Until somehow, who knows, God works in mysterious ways. We may end up seeing each other some other time. God bless you all.